In Jesus' name. Amen. In our reading, we heard these words, "Forgive and you will be forgiven." But forgiveness is not always easy, especially when we've been hurt or been abused. And forgiveness can be especially hard when the person doesn't apologize or keeps on hurting us. So how do we learn to forgive? Well, the first thing is to understand that we are forgiven. In Colossians chapter 1, it says these words, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." All of us were once enemies with God. All of us have sinned and done evil. And that alienated us from God because God is holy. However, through Jesus' death, we are now holy. We are free from sin, free from accusation, and we are reconciled to God. No longer enemies, but friends, children, and heirs. All of our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. And in God's sight, we are clean, we are holy, without blemish. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Forgive us for our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us." They go hand in hand. God forgives us, we forgive other people. And in Matthew, when Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer to his disciples, he adds these words, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." So if we don't forgive others, we're actually sinning. And if we don't repent of our sin, then we won't be forgiven. And that repentance means turning the other way, turning from unforgiveness, turning to forgiveness. I want to tell you a story. Imagine this scene in a courtroom trial in South Africa. A frail black woman stands slowly to her feet. She's about 70 years of age. Facing her from across the room are several white police officers, one of whom, Mr. Van der Broek, has just been tried and found implicated in the murders of both the woman's son and her husband from some years before. It was indeed Mr. Van der Broek, who has now been established, had come to the woman's home a number of years back, taken her son, shot him at point-blank range, and then burned the young man's body on a fire whilst he and his officers partied nearby. Several years later, Van der Broek and his security police colleagues had returned to take away her husband as well. For many months, she heard nothing of his whereabouts. Then almost 2 years after her husband's disappearance, Van der Broek came back to fetch the woman herself. How vividly she remembers that evening, going to a place beside a river where she was shown her husband bound and beaten, but still strong in spirit, lying in a pile of wood. The last word she heard from his lips as the officers poured gasoline over his body and set him aflame were, "Father, forgive them." Another woman stands in the courtroom and listens to the confessions offered by Mr. Van der Broek. A member of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission turns to her and asks, "So what do you want? How should justice be done to this man who has so brutally destroyed your family?" She says, "I want three things. I want first to be taken to the place where my husband's body was burned so that I can gather up the dust and give his remains a decent burial." She pauses and then continues, "My husband and son were my only family. I want, secondly, therefore, for Mr. Van der Broek to become my son. I would like for him to come twice a month to the ghetto and spend a day with me so that I can pour out on him whatever love I still have remaining in me. And finally," she says, "I want a third thing. I'd like Mr. Van der Broek to know that I offer him my forgiveness because Jesus Christ died to forgive. This was also the wish of my husband, and so I would kindly ask someone to come to my side and lead me across the courtroom so that I can take Mr. Van der Broek in my arms, embrace him, and let him know that he is truly forgiven. As the court assists come to lead the elderly woman across the room, Mr. Van der Broek, overwhelmed by what he's just heard, faints. And as he does, those in the courtroom, friends, family, neighbours, all victims of decades of oppression and injustice, begin to sing softly but assuredly, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." There's an interesting dynamic surrounding forgiveness, which is this. As Christians, when we hear stories like this one, we want to stand up and cheer. Our chests puff out, our eyes water, our hands clap. We applaud this type of behaviour because deep in our souls, we know it's reflective of Christ. But then the moment that we are wronged, instead of choosing grace and forgiveness, we rush down the path paved by swift justice. Somebody's got to pay. It hurts to be wronged. Our society says, eye for an eye. But Jesus teaches to turn the other cheek when we're wronged. Instead of demanding that somebody pays, the first words of our gospel reading, Jesus says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." So what does it look like to trust God, to care for others and be a person of peace when we are wronged? Well, regardless of the level of pain caused by the wrongdoing, Jesus advises us to forgive. Jesus was deeply wronged. The wrong done to him was deeper than any wrong that you or I will ever know. And yet his response to his wrongdoers was quick and genuine. He chose from his heart to forgive. A lot of other responses would have seemed justified: anger, revenge, disbelief, betrayal, rage. The calling down of an entire angelic host to rain down justice on that Roman crowd. But these aren't the responses that Jesus chooses. He chooses instead to forgive. I've been forgiven much because Jesus died for me, and I can forgive much when I've been wronged. No matter the pain, forgiveness can be our course. In Christ's strength and with the knowledge that we are forgiven ourselves, we should turn to forgive others. So practically, what does that mean? Well, it means forgiving people with our words, telling people that we actually forgive them. It's also about our attitudes, not bearing grudges, not becoming bitter. And then our actions, being willing to pray God's blessing on someone, being willing to share the peace with them, showing forgiveness through hugs and kisses. Actions show people that they are forgiven and that they are loved. But we definitely need God's help in all of this. So let's turn to him now in prayer. Jesus, thank you that you forgive us. Help us to forgive others. Help us to show forgiveness in our words, attitudes, and actions. Amen.